What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers, a dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends, a place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view, but when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. It's Tuesday and you're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We've got a great week lined up for you, folks. Today we're going to be talking about the mysteries of the mind. We're going to talk with one of the top mentalists in the world. Jim Carroll will be joining us. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the Haunted House of Wills. And this is a very strange location with a rich history, a wild haunting, and it's now being turned into a satanic bed and breakfast. Yeah, it's one of those stories you got to hear to believe, so make sure that you tune in for that. That's just a taste of what's going on this week. Our guest this evening is Jim Carroll. He's been on NBC's Today Show, Ellen, Howard Stern, Coast to Coast AM a dozen or so times. And he went from a steelworker in Allentown, Pennsylvania, to one of the world's top mentalists. I want to welcome you to the show. Jim, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, Dave, for having me.
What a fascinating turn. How do you go from a steelworker to, you know what, I think I want to be a mentalist?
Hey, you know, there is a story there. Actually, when I liked the Billy Joel song, Living Here in Allentown, that was kind of my life. I was destined to work in a steel mill. I didn't do well in high school. In fact, I had to go to summer school to get my diploma, and I ended up at the steel just like my dad and my neighbors and everything else. And life was good living here in Allentown. And I ended up getting married, had a baby. And while on the way for the second child, I lost my job. I got laid off just like everybody else down there. And I didn't know what to do. I'm like, what do I do now? So fortunately for me, when working at the steel mill, I met a gentleman that owned a magic shop. And up until that time, I didn't do any kind of magic. I didn't do tricks or anything. And I met this guy. He invited me to his magic shop. I went up there, and I started spending a lot of time up there, spending a great deal of money from my paychecks when I worked at the steel. And that ended up being a good thing, because what I ended up doing when I got laid off was I took my wife's Avon account, because she was pregnant, and I went door to door selling Avon. It was amazing. I don't know if the women felt sorry for me or they liked my card tricks, but I became the biggest selling Avon guy, probably the only guy, and that led me to become an entertainer. And that's how it all started, selling Avon door to door, and here I am 5,000 shows later.
Amazing.
So it's crazy. It's crazy. And I always liked the Amazing Kreskin.
Sure.
And so I was fascinated with the art of mentalism. So what had happened was I opened up a magic shop of my own, and I began reading books on mentalism and really freaky type of magic stuff. Like I remember this book. It was called Orman McGill's How to Produce Miracles, and in there it told you how to put your hand in a fox trap. I mean, that was so. I ended up learning how to do that, and.
Is there a big learning curve on that, Jim? How many times do you have to do it till you get it right?
Hey, but there's a story behind that as well. You know, what I did was from working at the steel mill, we had these things called cobble gloves, you know, for when you're handling hot metal. So I put this cobble glove on. I bought a fox trap from the sporting goods store. And I put the glove on. I stick my fingers in. And wow, did it hurt. I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, you could actually do this. And I gradually got thinner and thinner gloves until I one day just, boom, put my hand in a trap. And it hurt like heck. But after getting used to it, you build up this confidence. It was really, really cool. It was. So I started doing that. And then I met this Allentown.
Wait a minute, Jim.
It's crazy.
I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for the turn of what the illusion is. The illusion was nothing more than you just got used to getting clamped in a fox trap?
Yeah, sucking it up. You got to suck it up. You just got to suck it up and focus on no pain. And after a while, you don't feel it. It's really bizarre. Hey, but here's what's really cool. So I met this elderly gentleman at the Allentown Fair called the Mighty Adam.
Okay.
And then this guy, he's like 70-some years old. He's bending these steel spikes with his bare hands and unbending horseshoes. So that compelled me to do that. And I started getting into the spike bending. So now I had this show. I bent spikes, put my hand in a fox trap, and did card tricks. And that's how it started. It's amazing. And I ended up making a nice livelihood like that. And then what happened was, in 1990, I was at a show in Buffalo. Now, since you like this kind of material, your show is geared toward this paranormal.
Right.
Let me tell you a true story.
Okay.
So I'm leaving the show, and I always wanted to drive home if I didn't have anything in the same city the next day. I wanted to just get home because I had little kids at home and stuff like that. And at this point, I had four little kids now. So I'm driving home. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I hang a left at Rochester, and you're going down this big highway all the way to Binghamton, New York. That was where I had to make this drive. And upstate New York is very vast. It's real long. No lights, no houses. It's just in the middle of nowhere. So I'm driving, and I'm starting to get really tired. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. I can't believe I left. And I see a sign that says Corning, 70 miles. I'm like, wow, that's great. 70, and then another hour, and I'll see a Dunkin' Donuts, and I can get a coffee and wake up, you know? And I look at my clock. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. So, true story. All of a sudden, it gets real foggy. It was such an intense fog, you couldn't believe it. I put the window down, and I'm sticking my head out the window trying to look at the white stripes on the highway, you know, the passing stripes. And there's no other cars on the road, and it was so thick, the fog, and all of a sudden, the fog was lifting, and it was like dusk. It was like daylight almost starting. I'm like, that's impossible, right? Hmm. And I see a sign, and it says Corning, 2 miles. And when I look down at my clock, this is no baloney, Dave, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and that all transpired in about 2 minutes. And I didn't fall asleep at the wheel, nothing like that. I have no idea what that was. It's just amazing. And when I got home, I told my wife, it's like, what is going on here? And then from that day, I just had a lot of crazy things start happening in my life. I mean, that's when all this, if you want to call them abilities, you know, started happening. So right. It's really bizarre. It's really bizarre. That's how it all started from the lost time story of 4 hours. And
now, how long should it have taken you? It was 70,
an hour.
70 miles, right? It should have been a little over an hour and a half.
And not even an hour, because like you're driving about 60, 65, but with the fog, I would have probably driven a lot slower. But it's not like I didn't. It wasn't like I was in a daze or something. I mean, I basically seen the sign. It said 70 miles. It got foggy. I put the window down, looked out, and it said 2 miles. Like, what was going on here? How did it go from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock? That was the bizarre part. I mean, I didn't. There's no way I could have been in a daze for 4 hours.
Right.
It's impossible.
Well,
so I don't know what that was.
And even if you were, it didn't make sense with how long it took you to drive that 70-mile stretch.
I know. It was the whole thing is a mystery to me, and it's like that's when my career started like really blowing up, taking off.
Interesting.
I mean, that happened in 1990 in the fall. All right. Now listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Then around November, early November. I'm like, laying in bed, I have to get up early to go do a show in Philadelphia. I performed at a lot of colleges back then. And all of a sudden, the phone rings. And I'm like, hello? And the voice goes, Jim, you were right. The Pennsylvania Daily number on December 22nd was 222. And then I woke up, and it's only a dream. I have my hands like by my ear. It's like, what is going on here? It was such a vivid, vivid dream, and it was just amazing. So I wrote it down, thank goodness for this, on a pad and paper side of my bed, and I put 222, December 22nd, PA Daily number. And so I fell back asleep. I wake up in the morning. I heard the alarm go off. My wife wakes me up. She goes, hey, you got to get going, because I had this show. Like I said, I had a long drive down to Philadelphia. So I'm eating, getting ready to go, and she's in the bedroom making the bed, and she comes in. She goes, Jim, what's this? And at this point, I didn't remember the dream, because I don't know if your guests or your listeners know, but you're probably 90% of your dreams you don't even recall.
Right.
You don't
right.
remember. Yeah. So she shows me this piece of paper, and it's sloppy written, but it's me, and it says 222, and all of a sudden the dream clicked.
Uh-huh.
And I go to my wife, I go, Lynn, you're not going to believe this. I had this dream so real, and I told her the whole dream, and I left, went down to Philadelphia, and this was around November 8th, right around there. And now, think about it. This just happened. Just a month or so before, this is when I had this lost time incident. So now, I hold up this sign at the show, and I say, play 222 December 22nd. I thought, what the heck have I got to lose? If it comes up, I look like a rock star. If it doesn't come up, they'll probably forget. You know,
right,
that's what
right.
I did, all right? So, but I did feel something. I felt like this was really going to happen, not knowing at the time that it was going to. So I did this at 31 of my shows. I had 31 shows between that time till December 22nd.
Okay.
Now, so December 22nd, the big day comes, all right? So I'm getting ready to go do a show that day. I had a local show about 20 minutes from my house, so I had to go out and buy cantaloupes. And that's a long story in itself. I mean, I do this trick with cantaloupes. It's really funny. So I thought, well, I'm going to pick up 222, you know, just in case. You know
right.
what I mean? I'll put $2 on it and win $1,000, right? And I get into the store, and there's about 75 people standing in line. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's no way I'm standing in line. I'll be late for my show. So I left. I didn't play the number, you know?
Oh.
And not knowing that those 75 people standing in line were all playing that number. So word has spread so big throughout Allentown, Pennsylvania, and the whole Lehigh Valley. It was amazing. So I went to do my show, and I'm rushing home. I want to get home to find out what the daily number was, right? So, you know, to put on the local news or the Philadelphia News, where I live close to Philly. And as I'm walking by my office, I see the light blinking, the voicemail. And so I thought, hey, you know, being a performer, hey, that's money right there. When you see blinking lights, that
right.
could mean shows, right?
right?
So I hit the thing, and all of a sudden the voice goes, Jim, on the third message, the voice goes, Jim, you were right. The Pennsylvania Daily number was 222. I swear, Dave, it was the same
wow.
voice as in the dream. And it ended up being a gentleman that was the fire chief for a little company called Lehigh Township Fire Company, where I did a holiday party. And he told me, you know, they had like $75,000 worth of wings alone, the group that he had, and they ended up buying a fire truck. And so what happens is all the messages, obviously, that I'm playing, the 67 messages in my mailbox, where there's usually six or seven, and they're all, oh, my God, thank you, the number came in. So I'm, like, real excited, and then I'm getting a call from a newspaper while I'm sitting in the office. And it's from Philadelphia Daily News. Hey, we'd like to do a story. This would be a great holiday story. You know, how everybody's home. And so I'm giving them a story, not knowing that this is all of a sudden now on the AP Hotwire. So it's like, oh, this is amazing. It just blew up. And so the next day I wake up, and I'm in the headlines of my Allentown's paper. It's like, what is going on here? So yeah, what was that? What the heck was that dream? And did it have anything to do with the lost time of that happened a month and a half before? It's just bizarre. And that's how this all started.
Now, let me ask you something, Jim.
Yeah.
You did this. Afterwards, they ended up changing lottery laws across the nation. Is that
exactly.
because of what you did?
Yeah, here's what happened. So, you know, back then, I guess if you could have had 100,000 people play that number, and they would have had to pay out.
Right.
Well, now they put a cap on the numbers. And what's really cool about this, Dave, also, is your listeners could check to prove I'm not, you know, BSing. They could go to lotteryusa.com. That's where you go to check lottery results on a daily basis throughout the country. All right. If they go to lotteryusa.com and click on Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, they'll see all the lottery results for that day. And then if they scroll down and see history of Pennsylvania lottery, there I am, a whole paragraph dedicated to me. Magician Jim Carroll put the Pennsylvania lottery on the national map when he predicted 222. They called me the psychic madman back then. It was really funny. I'm not a psychic and I'm not a madman. It's just that my show back then was like real crazy. I would saw people in half with chainsaws and stuff like that. And it's fake. It's all make believe. It's but that's really. So I don't know. You tell me. What is that? Is that psychic? Is it a drink? So from that day on, I write and I tell your listeners to do the same thing. When you wake up in the middle of the night with a dream, write it down or have a little tape recorder or put your phone, your cell phone, and tape what you dreamt. I'm telling you, because you'd be surprised how many famous people, how many famous things, rather, were invented from dreams.
Sure.
It's just amazing. There's a lot of famous stuff invented from dreams.
Well, Stephanie Meyer, the author of the Twilight series that went crazy, she got that idea from a dream with the sparkling vampires. So, you never know what's going to inspire something,
Paul McCartney,
own lottery.
Paul McCartney dreamt the song, I think it was called Yesterday. And Albert Einstein, I think he once said that he dreamt about the theory of relativity and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Elias Howe, the sewing machine. It goes on and on and on. I mean, there's something to this. So, yeah, life is really, really a huge mystery, and we don't even know 1% of what the heck is going on. Trust me. I mean, when we get into the part where we talk about the memory, I will prove it to you why we have no clue of what's going on. It's just it's amazing what's out here.
Let's make one other quick mention. You not only gave the Pennsylvania lottery number, which was over $12 million, and you helped winners all across the states win that. Tell me about your final four.
I actually did it on Coast to Coast. That was one of the places where I predicted. George would have me on a lot, all right? And the one year, I was telling everybody, and then I said it on the show, what's your predictions? I said, I have a feeling all the number one seeds are going to be in the final four. And this was before the tournament even started. They had the whole thing picked, all right, except for a couple. In other words, it wasn't even made up yet, the map of who's going to be in it. And I said the four number one seeds, and I kind of predicted who I thought were going to be the four number one seeds, and I got three of them right, and the fourth one didn't get in. But here's what happened. The four number one seeds did indeed win the tournament that year. So that was really bizarre. And that was a dream. That was a dream, four number one seeds. But I had a lot of things come up like that. And then this company called... I don't know. I don't want to give them publicity on the air, but they called me up and they heard about these sporting predictions and they heard that I performed for a lot of people. So they wanted to take advantage of my sporting predictions by paying me some money to give predictions on their site for free, with the hopes of people coming to play my free predictions and possibly buying the people that actually you pay for their predictions. You know what I mean by that? Yeah.
Sure.
So I come on and I would do three or four picks every week in the NFL, and I was 66-6 with the spreads in predictions. And they actually lost money because people were playing my free picks and they weren't buying the picks of the guys who backfired on them. That was funny as heck. And I don't know what that is. I mean, people say you got to be a psychic. I don't take credit for being a psychic. I thought it was luck. But then it keeps going. You know, then I'm playing. I'm doing a show at the Brigada in Atlantic City. Well, I shouldn't mention it because so after the show, there were like 800 people at the show, maybe nine. And I go out and I start. I'm not a gambler by any means, just so you know. And I sit down at the roulette table. All right. And I don't know, just something just made me play the number 11 black. I put a chip on 11 black, and all of a sudden, bing, 11 black comes up. The very first time I sat down at the table, all right? So I'm like, wow, that was really cool. And I heard a couple people standing behind me say, I told you we should have played the number. So now all of a sudden, I put the chips on 8 black, okay? I put a couple chips on 8 black. Now I have just like 6 or 7 people putting chips on top of mine. And here are the people that watch my show. And all of a sudden, I just looked at the little marker that the lady had at the table. Right. And I just like visualized it going, I'm just wishing for luck, you know. And all of a sudden, boop, it comes up. 8 black comes up. I'm like, I never played this game. And two hits in a row. You got to be kidding me. Now my heart's pounding. And now I look around me and it's like 25 people. You know, from the show. So now I'm like, everybody's like waiting for me to see what I'm going to play. And I always wear red sneakers. And I look down at my sneakers, and that day I had Michael Jordan sneakers on. So I thought, it got to be 23 red. It has to be. So I go to the guy. I go, hey, what's the table, Max? You know, the manager, the pit boss, or whatever they call him. And he, I think, I forgot what he said, $300 or whatever. So I put the table, Max, on 23 red. This is a true story. Everybody starts playing 23 red. It was like, I bet you that pile was a foot high. It was wobbling. Like it was, and then I took a pen out of my pocket and I put it on top of the pile. You know, being a mentalist and a performer, and I wanted to like entertain my crowd here. You know what I mean? I'm not looking at this as playing roulette. I'm looking at it as entertaining my people. You know. And I go, let's see if my powers are still with me. And I make the pen fall off the chips. And as it's falling, the whole pile falls over. Oh, that was it, man. It was like a disaster. So now they're restacking the whole pile. This is a true story. They're restacking the whole pile of chips. By the time they do that, there's another 20 people around the table betting. And all you hear is, go, go, go. It was like a, man, it was like so cool. It was a cool feeling. And I'm just wishing for this number to come up. And at that point, I didn't even care about winning the money. I just wanted to look good to the people. You know what I mean?
Right.
And all of a sudden, 23 red comes up. It was like a mob scene. It was amazing. Everybody's hugging me, kissing me. I don't even know what I won, all right? And then they come up to me. They go, could you come with me? You know, could you come with us?
Uh-oh.
I'm like, what do you mean? So because it was 3 consecutive hits, right?
Right.
So I'm walking to this room. And everybody goes, you can't do that. He's our good luck charm and this and that. Everybody's like creating a scene, right? So I go in there, and the guy goes, do you have any electronics on you or whatever? I go, no, I just willed the number to happen. The guy didn't have a sense of humor when I said that. I was just kidding around, you know. I said, listen, buddy, I'm a comedian. I said, I just did a show here, my mind reading and magic show. I said, if it wasn't for me, all those people wouldn't even be out there playing because it was, you know, it was during a week. It was a Monday, all right? So anyway, the guy didn't believe me, so he calls the guy down that hired me. And sure enough, thank goodness for me, he was still there. He came down. He goes, Jimmy Carroll, Jimmy Carroll. He goes, show him what you do with a deck of cards. So I get a deck of cards out, and I'm showing him tricks. And he goes, that's it. You're banned from here and this and that. What a night that was. That was so amazing. But that's how this is about. I just love having fun with this.
Right.
Whether it's real, whether it's psychic, I don't really care. I just want to have fun and have people laughing and having a good time. And that's what I'm about. It's like, but yeah, this is it's great. But that's the little quickie stories of the ability of, or whatever you want to call it. So, but it's gotten stronger, a lot stronger. That was just the beginning stages.
Let me ask you, for our listeners that aren't familiar, what is mentalism?
Well, mentalism to me is someone that performs extraordinary feats of the mind, like the amazing Kresge, who we talked about before. He was one of the foremost mentalists in the world, and he's still performing, I think, and he's 80. He's amazing, right? Maybe that's why he's called the amazing Kresge.
Right.
But so he kind of, that was kind of my motivation to become that. And where a mentalist differs from a magician. A magician has illusions and tricks that he buys from a magic shop, or he performs an illusion to fool the audience. And most magicians have to travel with a van, and some of them even a truckload of equipment, where a mentalist will walk into a place with a briefcase. And sometimes you don't even need that. So that was the cool thing about being a mentalist. You didn't have a lot of props to carry around because you were performing magic with people's minds and their thoughts. So it's a little different, you know, than a magician in that regards. But
when you're working and you're doing mentalism, are you in a sense, imposing your will on someone without them even realizing that you're making them choose something or you're pushing them to do something?
It's kind of like I call it a mental force. Like, you think you have a free selection, but you really don't. It's kind of psychological, like a psychological force. Like here, for an example, I even tell you one. Like say you go up to somebody and you say, you look at them and you're talking about flowers, and you may even want to suggest colors and stuff. You're talking about color before you even say, hey, let me show you something. Write down on that paper right now. I better still, let me write it. I'll write something down. I write something down. I fold it up and put it in front of them. I'll say, name the first flower that comes in your mind. And because I was talking about something red, even though I didn't mention the color, I was talking about, at the time, fire trucks. And I'm trying to put the color in their mind. And then all of a sudden, boom, they say rose. 9 out of 10 people, after talking to me, always would say rose. And it was really cool. It was like, so a lot of it is psychological forces and things like that, less than magic tricks. But then you could take it to another extreme. Like, I take it to an extreme. I go way beyond the mentalism stuff. Like what I do is, well, now I incorporate memory with it, where you have all this information memorized ahead of time. I mean, gosh, there's so much stuff I have in my head right now, you wouldn't believe it. And so what I would do is I would incorporate that in with the mentalist show, and it would make it so much more powerful. So, yeah, it's so different than magic. I mean, magic, like most mentalists, when you see a mentalist perform, you can't just go out and buy what you just seen in a magic shop.
Right.
And most times you can't even find it on Google, all right? where if you go see a magic show and you Google what you just seen, you'll see where it could be purchased and everything. It's crazy. So that's why I like mentalism. I wanted to do something that no one else does. I didn't want to be just your run-of-the-mill magician. That's why I stuck my hand in a fox trap. That's why I started bending 60 penny nails. You know, I wanted to do things that nobody else did, and that was like my little claim to fame. Like, hey, my show's unique and different from everybody else, and that's how I got into all of that.
Well, let's do this. We have to take a break. Our guest this evening, Jim Carroll. When we return, let's talk about the mysteries of the mind. You heard him talk about memorization and using memory. This man has an unbelievable ability for memory. We'll see if we can get some tips and hints on how we can enhance our own brains. I'm getting to that age, Jim, where things are starting to slip a lot easier than it used to. I've got hope here that you're going to be able to turn that around for me, so we'll discuss that when we return.
Beyond the darkness,
welcome back. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Today, Jim Carroll, the master mentalist, is with us. We're discussing mysteries of the mind, how it works. Why do memories fail us and some are so strong? We'll find out a little bit more about that as we continue our conversation with Jim Carroll. Jim, you've got a pretty impressive pedigree here. Let's see if we've got this. You've been able to memorize over 80,000 zip codes.
Yeah.
Thousands of digits of pi. The Scrabble Dictionary, sports almanacs, medical journals, and thousands of other facts. How does one even begin to absorb that kind of information?
You know, like we said in the first half hour, I barely made it out of high school. I had to go to summer school to get my diploma.
Right.
All right? And so it's not like I was born with this gift or something. This is something that I trained myself to do. Here's how it happened. So I was doing really well with the mentalism shows and doing the card tricks, sticking my hand in the fox traps, the whole thing. And what happened was, along the way, at the age of 49, I had these pains one night, like in my chest. I'm like, what the heck is that? So I go to the doctor the next day, and they give me all these tests and run it through all these. Then he sent me to the cardiologist, and anyway, to make a long story short, they told me I had this thing called cardiomyopathy. I go, what the heck is that? They go, you got the heartbeat of a 93-year-old man. I go, wow, that's not good. I go, any more good news? They go, yeah, you have an enlarged heart. You know, I said, well, that's good. I got a big heart. He goes, no, this is serious. I didn't take it serious. I went home. I was a little worried. So I told my wife, that's no more Philadelphia cheesesteaks and 40 hot dogs a week. And I mean, I used to eat like that. I was a big eater, right? So I thought, well, I'm going to eat healthy. So I started eating a little healthier, started eating grilled chicken instead of cheesesteaks and stuff like that. But most importantly, I started riding an exercise bike. Now, what happened, Dave, along the way of riding the bike, it was so boring, okay? It was like, I can't do this. This is crazy. It's so boring. So I try watching TV, try everything. All of a sudden, I got this idea. I go, wow, I'm going to take my cards, and I'm going to try to memorize them even faster than I could already, all right? So I take the deck, and as I'm riding the bike, I'm memorizing cards and this and that, and I ended up getting really, really fast at it. I mean, like a minute where I could almost memorize the whole deck, all right? So I thought, well, I'm going to take this a step further. I started making flashcards, okay? Like I would have blank face playing cards that the United States Playing Card Company would send me because they sponsored me because I was the Guinness World Record holder for throwing playing cards at the time. I would throw playing cards over 200 feet. So I had all these cards at home, and one week they sent me a shipment of all blank face, and I said, I didn't care. I would just throw them anyway. So I took the blank face, and I made flashcards out of them. I would put all the countries, all the capitals, and I would tie them into a number from like one to whatever, all right? Then I started developing systems based on movies and celebrities. It's a whole long story. So I was doing this every day, and before you know it, I'm going 20, 25, 30 miles on the bike, and it seemed like I was on the bike for 5 minutes. I mean, I was exercising my body and my brain at the same time, and everything started clicking together. I mean, I was really memorizing like 100 digits of pi every day. You know, pi, 3 and 4 and 5, 9, 2, 6, 5, 3, 5, 9, 7, 9, 3, 2, 3, 8, 4, 6, 2, 7. I mean, it was insane. I mean, how is this all possible?
Right.
It seemed like the more I would memorize, the more stuff would stick. And then I started feeling energy, like I was energized. I started feeling like energetic and everything else. I don't know, maybe that's called getting in shape. I don't know what it was at the time. But I kept doing it more and more and more. And then, like I said before about the mentalist show, I started incorporating the memory in with the mentalism. Now, to start this whole thing off, when I got into the magic in the first place,
right,
I was real shy and backward, okay? And the magic would build up my self-esteem and my confidence because I see the look on people's faces like, oh, my God, how did you do that? How did you do that? Well, guess what? When I started doing the memory stuff and I'd go to somebody, hey, what's your birthday? April 10th, 1953. Oh, that was a Friday. The look on their face would be priceless. I would get that same look again. So now this memory became my second round of confidence and self-esteem builder and everything else. So that's how this all just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I was memorizing and forming, putting like systems together, memory systems of my own. I think
right.
I created my own system. In fact, I just shot a DVD series about it. I'll tell you about that later. So to make a long story short, once again, I'm doing this for 10 years. I'm 59, about to turn 60. So I go to the doctor because I said, hey, you know, my life insurance is turned down because of this cardiomyopathy stuff. I said, is there any way I could take a test again to see if that's gone? And the guy looks at me like I'm crazy. He goes, yeah, you can take the test. So I went down, and it was the same guy from 10 years before, and I haven't gone back to him, right? And he looks at me, he goes, oh, my gosh, what have you been doing? I go, why? He goes, you look younger than you did 10 years ago. I told him the whole story. I work my brain every single day, and I change my diet and this and that. And as I'm talking to him, he looks at me with this horrified look. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm dying. I go, what's the matter? He goes, I've never seen this before. He goes, I've never seen a reversal of an enlarged heart. I go, really? I go, how about the cardiomyopathy? He goes, well, you don't have it. I go, your heart's as healthy as mine. I go, really? So I got a second opinion from another, and that was it. I was on my way. I'm thinking to myself, wow, what I'm doing is actually truly working. And that motivated me to turn it up 10 notches. I mean, I started, here I am about to turn 60 at the time. I started lifting weights and doing all this weightlifting and, oh, my God. Then I took the memory stuff to a level like you wouldn't believe. And then one day I get a call from a friend of mine who's the he's the founder of the USA Memory Championships, and I met him because I wanted to go check that out, see how smart these guys, because I was really getting good at this memory stuff, and I could count a deck of cards like I was down to like 35 seconds at the time. And back then, I don't think that nobody broke a minute. So when I met the guy, Tony Dottino, he's the founder, he said, oh, man, we just bonded and become dear, dear friends, all right? And he was a little older than me, and so I'm like really motivated him. And he said he'd never seen anything like this because I turned memory into knowledge. I was like turning it into knowledge. So he goes, how would you like to go down to Florida Hospital with me and do a brain boot camp? I said, sure. It can't be any different than a magic show, you know what I mean, or a mentalist show, right? So I go down there, but I thought, well, if I'm going to perform for a bunch of nurses and doctors, I better learn something medical. So I memorized the skeletal system, you know, all the 206 bones of the body. And it only took me like an hour and a half. It was like really bizarre. So, and then it took me about, I put another 4 or 5 hours into it, and I actually memorized everything, each bone, you know, like your carpal bone, your scapula, your lunar, trapezium, pisiform, trapezium, trapezoid, captahamic. I mean, I have stuff memorized, Dave, where I don't even have to think about it anymore. It's no longer memorized 20 key words or systems. It's real memory. So I go down there, and I could basically take a skeleton apart, put it back together again, tell you the bone function, tell you what they support. Then I started memorizing the cranial nerves and the nervous system. I don't know what the heck is going on. So then they said, hey, could we do a study on you? I said, as long as it's not painful. All right? So they did a study. Yeah, because I don't want nobody sticking me with needles. I mean, right. I'm the kind of guy that you take blood out of me and I'll probably pass out. You know what I mean? So they did a study. I'm not even supposed to talk about this, but I don't care. And they said my frontal lobe, my parietal lobe, my occipital and temporal lobes are 4 times as thick as normal. And in the brain, that's good, unlike the heart. And he said, I'm 64 now, okay? And he said, I got the brain age of a 39-year-old man.
Wow.
So that is cool. That's priceless to me. You know, that's like really good. So the point I'm trying to make is exercising your brain. And I don't mean just, you know, I don't mean, like, you know, people that are seniors, hey, they take a walk around the block, you know, to keep in shape, all right? That's what puzzles and everything is like for you, right?
Right.
I run marathons, okay? I push my brain. I literally push my brain to its limit. You have to, see, here's how your brain, I study the brain now, okay? I study the human brain. That's how I got associated with all these doctors and neuroscientists and neurologists and everything else. I study the human brain. I look at MIT, Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic. I study all the sites. Sometimes I'll stay up till 2 in the morning reading more information on the different sites and stuff like that because I want to find out how the heck am I doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Nobody seems to know. None of these doctors. I mean, they're asking me, what do you eat? What's your diet consist of? And I said, a lot of dark chocolate. Yeah. And they go, really? Yeah. And then I tried to explain why I like dark chocolate and everything else. See, dark chocolate has this thing called epicatechin. Okay, and epicatechin is supposed to be good for your brain. It's good for I don't want to really get into the scientific stuff, but you got this thing called beta amyloid, and it disrupts the production of acetylcholine levels, the whole thing. And so what dark chocolate does is it kind of gets rid of your beta amyloid, and it actually enhances your neurotransmitter acetylcholine, and you got these things called tau, the neurofibrillary tangles of tau, and dark chocolate helps untangle that or keeps it from tangling, and this is what I started studying at all these sites, and then I found out for myself, you know, what's going on. See, like I would study all of these sites, and then I would study all the ancient Egyptian, ancient Chinese. I mean, I'm really. Put it this way, I've studied just about everything you can study, all right?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And yeah, no, seriously. And then I come up with my own conclusions of what works for me, and here I am. I mean, it's really bizarre. But epicatechin is in cinnamon, it's in dark chocolate, it's in tea, it's in grapes, it's in red wine. You know, like everybody says, hey, glass of wine a day is good for you. Well, the reason why is because of the epicatechin in the wine. You know, it's like, it's amazing what you could find out if you just do research and study this stuff.
Wait a minute, Jim. You want me to work out and study? I don't know if I've got it in me, man.
Well, this is where I took it. I took it right to an extreme. I mean, right. Because Because I see results. Now,
so when you were working out, do you think that it was as you're doing this and you're occupying the mind while the body's working and the body's releasing endorphins and other chemicals to stimulate the brain, do you believe that's what was helping you to absorb this so much better?
Yeah, exactly. I believe that was happening. And then, like I said, from doing it day after day after day, it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger every day. This energy, I don't know where it comes from. I mean, like I said, I'm 64 years old. I can play full court basketball. I can go out and do stuff. I'm riding mountain bikes. What? I couldn't do any of this stuff before. You know, what is going on? Your brain is your brain just runs your whole body. I'm telling you, it's just amazing what you could do. And if you put your mind to it, a lot of positive energy. So I started helping our wounded warriors with PTSD, all right? I go down to Walter Reed in Fort Belvoir every month, and I would teach classes on emotional intelligence and memory and stuff like that. And so that's what I do now. I'm helping people. I'm helping others because I know this works, all right? Exercising your brain, and I don't mean just a little bit. I don't mean, you know, I'm talking pushing your brain to memorize new information. You have to see, that's what it's all about. Like even the thing the athletes suffer from, like this CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, all right? And it's, you know, from getting hit in the head, and it results in, like, their cognitive abilities decline, everything up, and their brain age speeds up. Like some of these guys are 50, and they got the brain age of a 90-year-old and stuff like that. Well, here's what's going on. See, the three main things, for we'll use CTE, for example, all right? Declining cognitive abilities, okay? Your brain age speeds up. And your brain, it loses mass. It gradually deteriorates and loses mass. Those are the three things that happen, okay? Now, on the other end of the spectrum, all right, when you work your brain like I am by memorizing new information, I could tell you some secrets of things that I've come up with, how to increase your focus and how to do all of this. That's so different from anything you've ever seen. But what it does is it improves cognitive abilities, all right? It slows down your brain aging. As I told you, I'm down to 39 years old. It not only slowed me down, it probably reversed it. And it increases brain mass. I told you the cortex was four times as thick.
Right.
So you get the idea what I'm trying to say here. There's something here with this pushing your brain. I'm telling you. And don't get me wrong, the nutrition's important too. You can't overindulge in anything, but the proper nutrition is important. And I still cheat. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm a cheater. I mean, I still eat bad stuff, you know. But hanging out with Dr. Daniel Amen now and stuff like that, he's trying to set me straight with this. Don't eat this sugar. Don't eat that. So he really takes it to an extreme. But that's a doctor, Daniel Amen. He's an amazing guy. I went out to his place in California a couple weeks ago, and we shot eight DVDs, eight 45-minute to an hour-long DVDs, and I'm going to call it The Magic of Memory. And that is it. Those eight DVDs, that has everything that I do in there, the whole mix, the whole how I formed this mental matrix. I mean, it's going to be the most amazing thing anybody's ever seen, all right? It's just going to be amazing. It's just their videos, all right, that you
awesome.
Watch.
Awesome, right.
And it's going to be great. I can't wait till that comes out because that he somehow got that all out of me, and that's what I needed. I needed to get it out of me to let people know what I did, you know, and it's so out of the box.
So do you believe that things like Alzheimer's and dementia, do you think they can be reversed by using and applying these principles?
You know what? I truly believe that. I truly believe that, okay, because you know, I think the main, now this is just me. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not licensed to practice medicine or anything else like that. But I believe that your neurotransmitters, okay, these are what a neurotransmitter is, it enables your neurons in your brain to communicate with each other, all right? And the main one is acetylcholine for something like Alzheimer's. At least this is what I've been reading about in different places, right? And so, yeah, I believe, now this is just me again, I believe a disease like CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, that the athletes have, Alzheimer's, dementia, and even some forms of traumatic brain injury that the wounded warriors suffer from, I believe everything is interconnected, and it's almost, I think everything is, this is just me again, I'm not a medical doctor, I'm not saying that this, but this is what I truly believe. I believe this can all be helped by just exercising your brain, by pushing it to memorize new information every day. I truly, truly believe that that is one of the keys. There's several answers here.
It's right.
Not, the answer to this stuff isn't one thing, but I guarantee you that what I'm telling you right now is the main thing. Then the rest is nutrition and other things, and you know. But
when you start training, let's say tomorrow, Jim, I want to get on it and I want to start to train my brain. And I'm already not eating the best, and I'm certainly not much of a workout god. But I'm willing to turn that around. But what kind of little exercises are instrumental for us at the beginning stages to start pushing? Because they say you've just got to start memorizing and pushing. Yeah, that's great, but I walk into the other room and I forgot why I walked into the room to begin with. So, you know, I'll go out to start setting it up, and then I'll be like, why am I trying to remember this?
Well, stupid. Yeah, but see, let me tell you something. But look, let me tell you a true story. Tony Dottino, the guy I mentioned before, he's the founder of the USA Memory Championships, for God's sakes. And I'm supposed to be this memory guru that MIT calls me. All these different, everybody's trying to find out how I do what I do, right? We're down in Orlando, all right? That's where Florida Hospital is. And Tony lives down there. And he's there. Hey, he goes, how would you like to go to Universal to eat? I go, I'd love that. I haven't been there since I had my kids there with my wife. So he takes me over to Universal, right? And we pull in. And I'm calling my wife up. I'm all excited. Oh, my God, Lynn, I'm at Universal. We haven't been here since the kids. And he's talking to his son at the time, and he's pulling and parking. And then we're both walking into Universal. We go to get something to eat, and I'm still on the phone. We hang up. About 2 hours later, we're coming out. The two memory guys, neither one of us had any clue of where we parked. I mean, no idea. We're yelling. He's yelling at me. You're the memory guy. How, you know, I said, oh, I thought you were going to remember because you're the one that parked. And here's the deal. We were both on cell phones. We weren't focusing at the time. The key to memory is focus. And like what you just said, it's all about focus.
Okay.
Hey, without focus, there is no memory and there is no knowledge. These are just my opinions that work for me. I don't get this right. And so it's all about focus. I mean, here I am. Here we are. It took us, I think, about an hour and 5 minutes to find the car. It was just amazing. It was what a circus that was.
But you part of the problem, I think, we've become this MTV generation. We get everything in a three-minute snippet. You know, our conversations are now truncated to 140 characters on Twitter and quick back-and-forth text messages. And now I've got to be honest with you, Jim, I'll look at an email, and if it's over three paragraphs long, my mind starts to just feel like I'm being swamped. And I'm like, oh, this is so much to read.
I bet you don't even know your top five friends' phone numbers.
I don't.
You got them programmed in your phone.
I don't even know my kids' phone numbers. No, I've got my phone number, and that's it. I'm lucky I remember that, and it's only because the last four digits spelled Dave. So
yeah, amazing. And not only that, but people go, well, why should I memorize the Scrabble dictionary? If I want to look up a word, I'll just Google it. I mean, that's the kind of society we live in right now. But the thing is, I'm not telling anybody to learn this to become smarter.
Right.
I'm telling you to do this to help your brain grow and become strong and healthy and the rest of your body. That's what this is all about. This isn't about memory, and it's not about gaining the knowledge. Those are all fringe benefits. The key and the main reason why you do this is to get a more healthy brain. That is why you push your brain to memorize new information every day. Even yourself, you're busy. Even if it's something as simple, kids like to Google. Well, you know what? Google a word every single day. Try to memorize a new word and really put effort into even something as simple as that, because you're using your brain. See, here's what I teach. Like when I go down to Walter Reed, and this one young guy comes up to me, and he had severe traumatic brain injury and PTSD, and you know, nobody thought there was any hope for this boy, okay, with memory, okay. But let me tell you something. That's all BS. You got to be positive, first of all. It's all about positive energy and positive thought and positive thinking. If you're negative and you give up, forget it. You're never going to get anywhere. Here's what I do. I'll take out a deck of cards, okay? Perfect exercise for all your listeners, and this is a free one. It really works, I'm telling you. You take a deck of cards. You shuffle them up. You remove a card. And what I would do is I would teach the class of whether it's 10 people up to 40 people, I would teach them how to remember the cards, okay? In other words, see, if you take a deck of cards, I don't know if anybody, we have 52 weeks in a year, and there are 52 cards in the deck.
Okay.
Four seasons, four suits, okay? Listen to this one. There are three, if you add up like the ace is 1, 2 is 2, jack is 11, queen is 12, kings is 13, if you add up all the spots, it comes out to 364. Now you have two jokers. You add the jokers, each would be 1, so it's 365, number of days in a year. You have two jokers, so that's the leap year. I don't think there's a coincidence to that. So I take that, and I made a shortcut, because when you count the cards, you don't want to sit there, let's see, I'm at 299 and 7 more. You can't do that. Even the top math people would have trouble doing that. You need a calculator. So what I did was I shrunk it down to keeping a single-digit count in your head. Like when you see a 2, that's a 2. When you see a 5, that's 2 plus 5 is 7. Now if you get another 7, that's 14. Forget the 1, just remember the 4. You just focus on the last digit, maintain a single-digit count. All the 10 cards and all the face cards are 0. Makes it really easy. That's how you count in blackjack, by the way. So now, that being said, you maintain a single-digit count. This is so easy to do, Dave. Now listen to this. And when you get to the end, whatever your number is, like if it's a 3, if your count is at 3, you just subtract it from 10. If your count's at 7, you subtract it from 10, you get a 3. All right? Whatever it is, you subtract it from 10, and the difference will be the card that's left. Now, I did this with this boy that had severe PTSD and TBI. I swear, when I came down the following week, everybody raise your hand if you could do this. And everybody raise their hand. Who wants to go first? He raises his hand, and I get a stopwatch out. And the goal is to get this down to under a minute. If you could do that, you're really working your brain. Now watch this. So he starts going. I have the stopwatch going. This is no baloney. 45 seconds later, he was done. He goes, Mr. Carroll, that card's a 2 of hearts. I turn it over. It's a 2 of hearts. I could have cried. That was so cool. Oh, my God. Now, what did he accomplish? First of all, his self-esteem and confidence went through the roof that he did it. You know what I mean? And he's probably showing off to all his friends that he's a card counter, right? Number two, it really helped his math ability and his memory and everything else. But you know what? And his focus. You have to focus on this day, because if you miss just one card, you're going to miss the count. So you have to maintain focus for 51 straight cards. And perhaps the most important thing of all is we had something take place, what they like to call, some people call neurogenesis, right? The birth of new neurons or new connection, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter to me. But it's healthy for your brain, because here's what happens. When you shuffle a deck of cards and do this, every time you do this, your brain perceives it as new information. Therefore, it's good for your brain. See, like if you go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and do the alphabet, hey, you're never going to forget the alphabet if you do that 100 times. But guess what? Your brain gets used to it. Your brain has to see new information. So if you do this thing with the cards that I just talked about, every time you shuffle the deck of cards, there's a trillion combinations. Therefore, you could be 5 years old now, and by the time you're 95, you'll never see that same order. So therefore, your brain always sees new information, perceives it as new information, and it's good for your brain. And that is one out of hundreds of things that I come up with. It's just crazy. So it's a lot different than, I mean, even doing something as simple as those two things, and you are on your way to a, you know, and now if you want to get carried away like I do and start researching and studying and trying to memorize that stuff, then the best thing to do is to come up with one of your, you know, to read my book or to go when his DVD series comes out, Magic of Memory. I have an easy system there that you could apply everything to. Like, say you're going to college and you have to memorize lists, or if you're an attorney, you have to memorize. Everything could be applied to these systems that I created. They're really cool. So I wrote a book. It's called Beyond Emotional Intelligence. And then for the veterans, since I travel around the world, I entertain for the troops. I just came back from Afghanistan. We actually went 26,000 miles around the world.
Wow.
In an Air Force jet. That was really a C-17. That was really a lot of fun. Like, we went to like Hawaii, Guam, Diego Garcia. And you're talking to a guy that at the age of 63, I've never been out of this country. And now I've been to 35 countries since I'm 64. It's crazy, man. This is a crazy life I have. So, but that's really amazing what the brain is capable of. And that's what I'm all about. It's perfect for your show. I mean, the human brain is just totally. And I'll tell you what, like the movie Lucy. I don't know if anybody's seen Lucy, but right? I first of all believe you don't use any. Once again, it's just my opinion. I don't believe you use a percentage of your brain, Dave. I believe your brain is unlimited capability. I think it's. We didn't even dent the surface yet. I'm telling you right now, there's so much out here. I believe one day, just like we use the cell. I mean, it probably won't happen in my lifetime anytime soon. But just like we communicate on our cell phones right now, mark my word, you'll be able to do this. In the future, you'll be able to communicate
with telepathy.
Yes, really? Guaranteed.
Now,
yes.
Okay, you've got students and friends of yours that have worked with you and apply this same kind of thing. Have you tried that with any of these other people? And
yes.
It works.
Well, you. I'm sure you've hosted Coast to Coast, and you've had
right.
How remote viewing. You think that's a bunch of baloney? That's the real deal stuff. I'm surprised they hushed that up and swept it under the rug. You know, we didn't even get started yet.
Well, we have to, right? They kind of have to disavow it, like, this is pseudo-nonsense, because if they realize that this is real and they're out broadcasting it, that every terrorist and their brother is going to learn how to do this to know how to attack and where to attack and what to do.
Yeah.
So I understand that some of this information they have to kind of step back from and make it look like it was a failed experiment. Because if you say, we did that, and man, are we good at it, that can really start to open up the consciousness of other groups that maybe we don't want
right.
to have that kind of knowledge.
See, and that's exactly the problem with every good thing.
Right.
There's always somebody that could make something bad out of it. See, and that's just like me with the hustling and the counting cards. You know, I would never go to a casino and rip them off, you know what I mean? But, you know, I use this for fun, you know, but unfortunately some people will take it and, you know, use it.
But see, that's interesting to me. So why is it that that's considered cheating when all it is using the gift that you've got against their odds? I mean, all you're doing, again, to me, that's not cheating. If you have the wherewithal and ability to use your memory to that capability, and you can, you know, in a 4 or 5 or 6 card shoe, what card's coming next and how to mathematically figure that out.
I know.
For God's
sake, I don't think it should.
You deserve every penny you earn.
I believe so too. And I think they're catching on to that now. I think they believe that as well. And that's why, like, a lot of the casinos will go, they'll have two decks of cards, and after every hand, they'll reshuffle the cards, or the casinos that are using 8 decks in a shoe, they'll make sure that cut card's down a little lower. You know what I mean? That it keeps, you know, so counting isn't really much of a factor in places like that. But, yeah, it's crazy. I don't think it's cheating either. But I'm talking about cheating
utilizing it for bad things.
I could show you how to mark cards where people would never even know you're marking them,
That is taking advantage of a system as opposed to just exercising your mind to utilize it. Let me ask you, so you believe that we're not far off, maybe not in your lifetime, but we're not far off from being able to telepathically communicate, to where the phones are put away, we're able to just send that kind of mental thought to our loved ones, friends, whatever.
I really believe that.
Do you have you seen opening up your mind like this, exercising it, reconnecting neurons and new neural pathways? I'm just curious, since we are a paranormal show, Jim, has that opened up any weird paranormal activity for you? Do you witness ghosts or hear voices?
Without a doubt.
Really?
It opens up. The more your listeners push their brain to memorize new information, the stronger it gets, the more connections your neurons make, and who knows how many trillions and quadrillions of connections are possible. That all it takes is one. Well, think about it, and let's put it in this perspective. Now, think of you wire a house. You have thousands of wires.
Oh, Jim, you got a little quiet on me. I don't know if you moved the phone from your mouth, but I just want to make sure we can hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Well, think about it as wiring a house. All
right.
These wires. You look at your ceiling underneath your tile. You have thousands of wires, and you don't know which one goes to a. And one day you're fiddling around, and all of a sudden, wow! Look at this. Turns on this. You know. Well, it's the same thing with your brain. We have. You know, nobody teaches you this. Think about it. You don't learn this in school or college.
No.
Or, I mean, you have to just come upon it on your own and read these. Like every day is a discovery for me. Every day I keep you know, I'm learning something new. It's just amazing what your brain is capable of. But you got to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. You can't. And what happens is it handles stress. I mean, there's so much that comes out of this. You wouldn't believe it, all right? And like one of the main things that I think I got stronger at, like you talk about a sixth, seventh sense, I call it deception detection. Like if I'm sitting across from you,
right,
I can tell if you're lying or telling the truth with probably 95% accuracy. It is just so strong. That's what really got strong to me. And I've been testing this out with everybody. And
so are you saying your intuition has gotten stronger, your capability of
yeah, I call
not necessarily
it, yeah,
looking
I call
for
it,
the eye twitch or the sweat bead?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's intuition. It's a combination of a little bit of reading. You start off with a little bit of the reading, the tells and stuff like that, but it's more intuition than anything else. And, yeah, it got way stronger, and it keeps continuing. It gets stronger and stronger every day. I truly believe that. I started at 50, 49, 50 years old. Could you imagine if they would teach this to people starting at 12, 13, what they could become? It's
right.
It's amazing. It's
I'll tell you this. I plan on getting your program when it's available. I've got kids. I would love to start teaching them this ability to help them through their schooling and through life.
It definitely. I'm going to tell you something. I have grandkids. It's really cool having grandkids. And just the other day, like I'm helping them now. I'm teaching them, you know, and the ones in kindergarten,
right,
the ones in first grade, and the ones in second grade. Now, so the one in kindergarten, the little guy, I mean, could you imagine him being in kindergarten with the teachers thinking? Now you could go, what's the scientific term for brain freeze? And he'll go, sphenopalatine ganglion neuralgia. You could go, what does DNA stand for? Deoxyribonucleic acid. I mean, kids are resilient. But you gotta lead them to the and see, and I have this way to do it where it's not where I make it that you want to do this,
right?
You know, because I incorporate magic and mental. I know it's that just same with the Wounded Warriors with PTSD. I have them wanting to do this. Like if I come in like a doctor dressed in a 3-piece suit, they're not going to give me the time of day. But I come in this cool guy with a goatee, a leather jacket, a ball. Hey, let me show you something. Boom, let me teach you how to count cards. Boom. Before you know it, I win them over, and I do my thing, and that is what it takes. You got to find their itch. You got to win them over, and it's really cool. It's really, really a lot
That's
of fun.
Fantastic.
You get up so much fun with this. Yeah.
Well, we got a little off. I was curious about the paranormal, and I know off air you had said that you've got some experiences with that. Tell me a little bit about what type of weird phenomena have you witnessed or seen yourself?
The dreams, they're getting freakier and freakier every month. It's almost as if, I mean, I could tell you stuff, and I don't have the answer for what's going on. I'll tell you something. I'm not ashamed to say this. Here. Okay. Back when this first started, I right around 1990, you know, I was in my dream. I would like not levitate, but almost fly. Like you go off the ground,
right?
And then you're moving forward. But I would flap my hands like it's like I'm a bird, or and I'd be like levitating above people. And I don't even know who the heck these people are. Half these people, and I'm levitating across, right? And that would happen so many times. It just kept happening and happening, and happening. And now it's at a point where I do it. I'll like go off the ground, maybe about a foot, and I can move forward, stop, go to the right, go to the left, go higher, and I don't have to flap my hands. I don't know what that is.
So you're getting more into lucid dreaming, then, is what you're doing. You're learning not only to control your waking mind, but your subconscious and sleeping mind as well.
Yeah. It's really bizarre. And not only that, but memories are coming back to me that I had when I was a child that I didn't remember before.
Hmm.
So it really strengthens your brain. Your brain becomes so, and this is the real deal stuff. This is not fantasy. This isn't something that, you know, I like a lot of these, you read these books like, this is possible if you do this. This is possible if you do this. Well, guess what? I'm living it. You know what I mean? I know it's real.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's really bizarre. And I love it. I mean, I love every minute of it.
Have you ever tried to push your mind to recall what happened during that lost time segment that you talked about at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, you know what? I can't fight that. I can't figure it out.
Have you ever considered going in for hypnotic regression and opening that part of it?
No, but I could tell you a story of a gentleman I met. I mean, this is going to really freak you out.
Okay.
You have time?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm not going to mention no names here. No names.
Come on.
We'll call him Harry for now.
Okay. All right.
So I'm down in Florida. This is before I've ever told. This is a while back. Nobody knew about this story, about the lost time. This was before I ever talked about it. I think the first time I talked about the lost time story was on Coast to Coast, right? So this was before that. So I'm down in Miami, and I'm meeting all these guys, and we're on this boat, you know, and stuff like that. And this guy, once again, I don't want to mention his real name. His name was Harry, a very intelligent guy. I don't know how many PhDs he has. Really amazing scientist, biologist. I mean, he has PhDs, more PhDs than I have, whatever, you know.
Right.
So, and he said he came down because he heard I was going to be there. I'm like, what? Yeah. So, because the word's getting out about me already with the memory stuff, you know. So, everybody's like intrigued with this. So, okay, we go out on a boat and stuff like that, and we're doing this little tour through Fort Lauderdale, and then before you know, we're out in the ocean. And there's like four guys, three of them are in the front of the boat, and this guy, we'll call him Harry, is with me, and he's the guy that wanted to meet me. So we're in the back of the yacht, the boat, and we're driving out on the ocean. I can't even see land anymore. That's how far out we are, and we stop. I said, let me show you what I do. He goes, you don't have to show me anything. I already know what you do. I'm like, what? You know, I go, well, let me show you anyway. And I pull this dice out of my pocket and I throw it to the guy in the front of the boat. I go, hey guys, here, flip it to any number you want. And they go, it's a two, right? Oh my God. And they go, okay. I go, do it again. I go, it's a three. Oh my God. These guys are going crazy. Cause that's one of the things I do. I like to have fun with people. All of a sudden this guy taps me. He looks at me and gives me this little smirk. He goes, do it again. And I do it again. I go, it's a six. They go, no, you F that up. You know, I go, what? I never miss. And you know, I see this smirk on his face.
Right.
Like, there's no way this guy could possibly know how I did what I did, because there was only a handful of people doing this routine in the whole world at the time. So, and I know he's not a performer. So now I'm puzzled. Like, but he is like an Einstein. You know what I mean? So I'm like, how could he be affecting this? And he goes, try it again. You know, I go, do it again. I go, it's a two. And I knew it was a two, 100%. And they go, no, it's a four. I'm like, what? Then it's smirk again. He goes, okay, now it'll be all right. He's whispering to me. I go, is it a three? Like, they go, yeah, you got it, right? And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? You know, oh, I'm sorry, can I say hell? All right.
Yeah.
Then I look at him, and he goes, you know me. Look at me. Do I look familiar to you? I go, No, I go, not, well, kind of, a little bit. Why? He goes, remember that time traveling from Buffalo and you lost 4 hours of time? Oh, my God, I almost passed out when he said
what?
That. What? Who the heck is this guy?
Right.
So anyway, that was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me. You talk about, look at my...
Well,
who
the hell was the guy? He knows about your missing time?
Yes.
Does he know what happened to you?
He would never tell me. He would never tell me. So I am the guy that screws with other people.
Right.
I got somebody screwed with me big time. Either he is Harry Houdini reincarnated or... Are you somebody? I don't know, man.
Wow,
I don't want to know.
That's astounding.
You know what I mean? It's a lot of fun. This life is a lot of fun, and all I could tell everybody is train your brain, exercise your brain. If you need help, go to my website, jimcarroll.com. Wait for the DVD series to come out, Magic of Memory, in July. Or in the meantime, get the book Beyond Emotional Intelligence. And if you like to have fun with your friends and screw around, I have another book just for that. It's called 51 Ways to Hustle Your Friends. So I got the two cool books, one for the lighter side and one for the more serious side. But now it's time to really get serious, and that's why I came out with this DVD series.
So, well, I'm glad you did, and I thank you very much for doing that. I look forward to it, and please let us know as soon as it hits the shelves and it's ready. We'll make sure we mention it on air.
Oh, definitely, Dave. Yeah, you're a pretty cool guy, man. It's really a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun here. This is
well, so did we, Jim. Thank you. And yeah, we'd love more of your stories. Feel free to reach out to us anytime. And when you have updates, we'll be happy to have you back.
Sounds good. All right, man. You have a great night.
You too. Jim Carroll, our guest, as we talk about the mysteries of memory. And you can find information at jimcarroll.com. We'll have a link up to that on our website. Remember, tomorrow, The Haunting of the House of Wills. Eric Freeman, our guest here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. Stay tuned for a preview of today's True Crime Tuesday episode, I Am Jane Doe. This is a fascinating and thought-provoking episode. Remember, to sign up and become a member of True Crime Tuesday, simply visit darknessradio.com, click on the True Crime Tuesday banner, and sign up now. $5 a month gets you 4 brand new episodes of True Crime Tuesday. Mary Mazzio is the director and producer and writer of the documentary I Am Jane Doe, which chronicles the epic battle that several American mothers are waging on behalf of their middle school daughters that were victims of sex trafficking on Backpage.com, which is an adult classified section that for years was part of the iconic Village Voice. She's here with us tonight to talk about this case. It's hard to process. How does your child go from sneaking out, which is the worst of her crime at this point, right, to sneak out to go to a party, like so many of us have done through our lives, to eight hours later being posted on a sex website in provocative positions, in outfits that people wouldn't have expected a girl this age to be wearing. How does that transition happen? Is this something that they're promised a lot of money? Are they promised freedom? Are they being threatened for their lives if they don't do this?
Great question. Having now interviewed scores of survivors and child survivors, I have yet to meet an individual who ever made a dollar. So let's put this in context, because this was as mind-blowing as any other fact that I learned during this process. So these are effectively human slaves. And certainly the children described it happening in a nanosecond, right? So maybe they've gone to a party, maybe they've started drinking, maybe somebody's hit them with something, put something in their drink. Maybe they've, heroin is often the drug of choice. And once a child is injected with heroin, game over. They become so vulnerable, so easy to manipulate. Other children were taken to a party, walked into a back room, and all of a sudden there are two adult men there. I mean, this happens literally within a nanosecond to these children, and they have not a clue what is around the corner.
How terrifying. And within 8 hours to be now, in essence, you've been abducted, you've been, and willingly right. almost in so, some case, because you've been, you didn't even realize where you were going and you're in the situation and you may end up drugged and then forcibly raped over and over. And in one part of the documentary, you mention it wasn't like they went and turned a trick once in a while. It was sometimes up to 20 to 30 times a day these women were being raped.
It's so dehumanizing, and particularly with the advent of technology, right? The ruthless machine of on the hour, by the hour, where these young girls are shuttled from motel room to motel room, you know, not out on the track, not visible to law enforcement, effectively, you know, invisible. And that is the true sort of scenario for so many of these young girls. It's really, it happens in the blink of an eye, and our children have not been taught what the warning signs are, what the recruitment tactics. And in fact, Dave, by far the most prevalent recruitment tactic is seduction. And you know, if you're an at-risk child, if you've been previously sexually abused, if you're LGBTQ, if you're depressed, right, if you have anxiety, if you're adopted, if you're a runaway, these are all children that are most vulnerable and most vulnerable to somebody that comes along and says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I'll take care of you. And, you know, and those are the children that are most at risk. And it happens so quickly. Oftentimes it's an online chat, right? These predators live in chat rooms. They are online. They are looking for their prey. And once they have a child in their sights, it's relentless. And the child is swept off her feet. One of our young Jane Doe children in the film did run away, did fall in love, and it was within a week where she was introduced to, you know, it was, I love you, I love you, I love you. And oh, by the way, we got to make rent. And oh, by the way, and oftentimes these pimps will arrange for, by the way, many of these pimps take these children virginity. So let's be clear. This is something that is not consensual, right? It's something where it's often a first love for the child and it's overwhelming. And then all of a sudden, she is in a room with two adult men. Sometimes it's a little bit more gradual than that, but often not.
Subscribe now for True Crime Tuesday by visiting darknessradio.com and clicking the True Crime Tuesday banner. Never miss another episode of True Crime Tuesday and Dumb Crimes and Stupid Criminals. Go there now, darknessradio.com, and click on the True Crime Tuesday banner. Do it now.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.